brethren. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 9. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Our great God and our Father, we ask you to cleanse us of the defilement that we've defiled ourselves with throughout the week in our walk, so that we can actually hear your word and worship you. We need you constantly to forgive our sins and cleanse us, Lord. We're thankful for that cleansing we have once for all time in Christ and by Christ. And how we're thankful for this daily cleansing that you wash us with. Lord, we ask you now, please wash our feet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, now we come now to the fourth plague in Exodus 9. Now at the end of this plague, down in verse 12, we read, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh." In this plague, everything God was doing here was hardening Pharaoh's heart. God used ashes from the Egyptian sacrifices to cause boils and blisters to come upon man and beast. And by all this, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Now, when sinners continue offering vain sacrifices to God, trying to make ourselves righteous and present ourselves to God, when sinners continue doing that, eventually, God hardens them using their own self-righteous religion. It's because their vain sacrifices are only adding sin unto sin. And that's our subject this morning, adding sin to sin. Now, first of all, God will not receive a sinner's sacrifice. God will not receive a sinner's sacrifice. Look at verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains or blisters upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, this was not a furnace for heat. This was a furnace, a place where they kept a fire going, where they burned the sacrifices that they were offering to God. And in their mind, they were offering these sacrifices to the true God. They were burning these sacrifices to propitiate, to try to make satisfaction to the God that they thought was the true God. It was the God of their imagination, but they thought they were doing it to God. Now, brethren, spiritually dead sinners naturally have an understanding that they need to be made right with God. You can go into the deepest jungles anywhere in this world and you'll find sinners making sacrifices to a God. Sinners naturally understand there's something that has to be done to appease God. Paul said we have the law of God written on our hearts by nature. He said the Gentiles who don't even have the law are a law unto themselves. When they steal, they know they're stealing. You know, you before anybody ever taught you the law, you knew when you did broke the law and disobeyed God. But it's all defiled knowledge. It's all corrupt knowledge. It's not a true knowledge unless God gives it. God has to give the true knowledge. And so notice here, God commanded Moses to sprinkle these ashes in a certain place. Notice where he told him to offer them. And then notice what God did. He said, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And then here's what God did. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt and shall be a boil breaking forth with blisters upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. God commanded they sprinkle this dust of their sacrifices toward him, toward heaven. That's who they were offering them to. So he said, now you take the dust of those sacrifices and you throw it up towards me to signify these sacrifices being offered to him. And then God showed that he rejects the sacrifices of sinners. He turned it into boils and blisters upon man and beast. And this was a thorough rejection, it says there, throughout all the land of Egypt. Nobody's sacrifice is received. God will not receive a sinner's sacrifice. So though we're spiritually dead by nature, we have an understanding God needs to be appeased. He needs to be satisfied, but we don't have a right understanding. We don't know the sacrifice, so we go about trying to offer our own sacrifice to God. God rejects it. And yet men go on sacrificing to God in vain. Hebrews 12:11 says, every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. And that's true of every sinner. Before God, whether a man's religious or not, men that never darkened the door of a church building. Thanksgiving rolls around, they go work at a lunch line somewhere. Or they give to the poor around Christmas time. You know, why is that? To appease God. To sacrifice. To make a sacrifice to God. And religious men do it every day with their religious works. Deeds they don't really want to do. Religious deeds they really don't want to do. Trying to keep the law. All these different things men are doing to try to make a sacrifice to God. And proof that sinner cannot make a satisfaction unto God is that there's no satisfaction in his own conscience. He has to keep making them over and over and over because his conscience is never purged. He's never made to realize God's satisfied. That's what God does with his sacrifice. He makes you know in your heart God's satisfied. But the sinner never knows that. The law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. That means once purged, they would understand God's satisfied. There's no more offering for sin. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance of sin every year, and they have to continually keep coming back. It's never enough. You remember Adam, as soon as Adam sinned in the garden, he made a sacrifice. He made fig leaves and tried to cover his nakedness. But was it enough? Was it enough? As soon as he heard the voice of God, it wasn't enough, was it? What did he do? He hid himself in the trees. See, man's conscience is not purged by his sacrifice. You and I are sinners, and therefore we cannot make a sacrifice to God that's going to satisfy the holy justice of God. We can't put away our sins. We can't satisfy the law. We cannot make satisfaction to God. Satisfaction and salvation is not by works of righteousness which we've done. Even a new heart is not by works of righteousness, which we've done. God said in Malachi 1:10, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. See, they weren't coming and offering sacrifices because they were thankful for what God did and they saw Christ in the sacrifices. God said, no, there's a reason you're offering those sacrifices. You're trying to indebt me to you. That sacrifice is your sacrifice. It's your work. Now, secondly, not only does the sinner and his sacrifices not actually satisfy God, they actually add sin to the sinner. Look here in verse 10. And they took the ashes of the furnace, and they stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil, breaking forth with flames upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. We've seen how that leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin. And that's what we have pictured here. These boils and these blains that came upon them is a type of sin. The pictures of men being covered in more sin by the sacrifices that they made. The ashes of these sacrifices were the ashes of the very sacrifices that they offered to God. And God made them to break out in boils and blisters upon them. Notice the beasts broke out in boils and blisters. Remember what the beast pictured? The working beasts? The very beasts that they would sacrifice to God? That's a type and a picture of their works and all their religious sacrifices. And so the men offered these sacrifices to God, and God said, you throw these sacrifices up to me in their sight. And God took those sacrifices and added unto them boils and blisters, sin upon their sin. You see that? It was adding sin to sin. They were sinful, and they knew they needed to offer a sacrifice, but they came with the wrong sacrifice. And therefore, by not obeying God and bringing His sacrifice, they just added more sin to their sin by the very sacrifice they thought was going to take away their sin. Brethren, that's what every man is doing who's offering religious sacrifices to God. You'll hear men say, well, at least my son's in church. He might not be sitting under a true gospel, but at least he's in church. I wouldn't want him there. He's adding sin to sin if he's coming to God with a false sacrifice. Listen to Isaiah 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Adding sin to sin by vain oblations is what God was referring to when He said in Isaiah 1:5. I preached on this just the other day, and it was adding sin to sin by vain sacrifices. This is what God was talking about when He said, why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The more I strike you, and the more I send trials to you, and the more I chasten you, without me sanctifying that to your heart, you think the way to stop that is to go offer more sacrifices to God. And that's nothing but revolt, God said. You're rebelling against me more and more. Bring no more vain oblations, He said. I'm sick of it, God said. And that's what the legalist is doing. By all his whipping and bringing professing believers back under the law, and by preaching nothing but morality and those things, all he's doing is adding sin to sin. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans 2:5. After thy hardness and impenitent heart, you're treasuring up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. He told the Pharisees, you that judge these men, you that judge these horrible wicked sinners, are just as guilty as they are. Coming with the wrong sacrifice. And it's adding sin to sin. At all man's sacrifices, God's holy law says, sin, sin, sin. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Look there in verse 11. And the magicians, these were their preachers, so to speak. The magicians could not stand before Moses. Moses is a picture of the law of God. They couldn't stand before the law of God. You come with a sacrifice other than what God commands. You can't stand before the law of God. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths. The calling of assemblies. I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, God said. Even the solemn meeting. He said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. But that which is highly esteemed among men is what? It's an abomination in the sight of God. It's nothing but adding sin to sin. And this is so of all men from the pulpit to the pew, brethren, who come with the wrong sacrifice. He said there, this boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. This was true of everybody there. Everybody was coming with the wrong sacrifice, and everybody was adding sin to sin in Egypt. From the religious leader down to the lowest religious person. But next is an urgent warning, brethren. This is an urgent warning in our text. If a man will not repent from his vain works, if a man will not repent from his vain doing, God will harden his heart and leave him thinking that he's walking in light when really he's in darkness. That is a frightening thought. If a man will not repent from his own self-righteousness, from trying to please God by his own sacrifice, God will harden his heart and God will leave him thinking he's righteous and he's walking in light. Look there in verse 12. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. That's what all this was doing. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Up till now, it said Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He hardened his own heart. You keep hardening your heart against this gospel. You come in here and you hear it and you walk out of here unaffected. And right away, Christ gave three examples right away how the word is stolen away. Falls on stony ground, Satan comes and takes it away, or the cares of this world choke it out. Hardening their heart. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. But this time, now, the Lord hardened his heart. He would not repent and bow to God, willfully rejecting God. God made it so he'll never repent and bow to God. But though man's reprobation is his own fault, and you find that throughout the Scripture, God says, because you would not, I will do this, I'll harden you. It's his own fault. But even though that's the case, God purposed it from eternity, brethren. It's not frustrating God's purpose when a sinner doesn't believe. It's not making God's gospel of none effect when a sinner is hardened in reprobation. He said there, this was as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Somebody might say, well, I can't reconcile in my mind how it could be the sinner's fault and yet God purposed it from eternity and it fulfilled God's purpose. God don't say you have to reconcile it in your mind. God said just believe His word. Just believe Him. It's so. But heed the warning, brethren. Pharaoh was left thinking that his own self-sacrifice, his own self-righteousness was really light. Christ said, if the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? That's the problem with religious men. I would rather meet a sinner who doesn't know a thing about religion and who's never made a profession in religion than somebody who has and is just flat out deceived. Because that man that's deceived thinks he's got light. So now he's got darkness upon darkness. He's got sin upon sin. The light he thinks is light is really darkness. So he's in double darkness. Christ told the Pharisees, you go over land and sea trying to make converts, and when you do, you make them twofold more the child of hell. Because you've added sin to sin. So take heed. What should I do? Peter said, make your calling and election sure. Well, how do I do that? How do I do that? How can I be sure my religion is the true religion of God? I'll give you the answer.
by the sacrifice you're resting in. That's how you know. What sacrifice are you resting in? That's how you know. There's one sacrifice which satisfied God. There's just one. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Turn to Hebrews 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Now look here. Hebrews 10 and verse 8. Christ said to God his Father, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not." You had no pleasure therein. You were not satisfied by the sacrifices and offerings of men, which are offered by the law. Now look at verse 9. Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to be the sacrifice. I come to make the offering that will satisfy you, O God." Look, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. He is what all those old covenant sacrifices pictured. And he takes away all the sin of his people, which we fell in under that first covenant. He takes away that sin. He establishes the law for his people. He takes it away. And it says here, and he establishes the second. He establishes the everlasting covenant of grace in our heart. Look at verse 10. By Christ's will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ one time. Once for all eternity. He made the one offering necessary. Verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Well, how are we going to know about it? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. That's not by our works of righteousness either, brethren. Not anything we do for the Holy Ghost to come and bear witness to us. There's no such thing as how to be born again. You have nothing to do with that, just like you didn't have anything to do with being born the first time. God sends the Holy Spirit. It blows where it will, just like the wind, sovereignly, irresistibly. And the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." God writes his law in our heart, making us know he's fulfilled it. Making us know he's established. That's what Paul meant in Romans 8 when he talked about the righteousness of the law being fulfilled in us. It's not that we're going to fulfill the law by anything we do. It's that he comes and writes the gospel in your heart and teaches you that he's fulfilled the righteousness of the law and brings you to trust in his sacrifice and rest in him who established the law on our behalf. And he says, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now where remission of these is, here's where the conscience is purged. He teaches you this, where your sins have been remitted, there is no more offering for sin. That's when a man will stop trying to satisfy God by his own offerings. When he's made to see there's no more offering for sin. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which he's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." See, this is not coming with a sacrifice you've made. This is coming through faith in Christ, God's sacrifice. There's where assurance is. Assurance, not in your faith, assurance in Christ. You can have faith that's just a grain of a mustard seed, just a little faith, but trusting him alone. There's where your assurance is, in Christ. "And by this work of the Spirit, you have your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised." All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. He's faithful that promised. When he makes this covenant in your heart, he makes you to know it's all ordered and sure. And it's all your hope and it's all your salvation. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, if we cease assembling, rejecting Christ, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, after that we've claimed that we effectually were called by it, and we fall away and prove that we never were effectually called by it, look at this. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Why? Because Christ is the only sacrifice. Reject Christ. Cease assembling with His people. Reject Christ and go back out into this world after that you've heard this knowledge of the truth. There's no more. There's no other sacrifice. Christ is it. What remains then? A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. This is how we make our calling and election sure. Who are you trusting in? Trusting in a sacrifice you've made? Trusting in a work you've done? Trusting in something that you think is going to commend you to God? Or are you resting in Christ who perfected you forever by His one offering? Do you have to hear this word and be with His saints? God's people do. If not, brethren, cease adding sin to sin. If Christ is not all your hope, repent from your works today and cast all your care on Christ. God, make this word effectual in your heart. God, may God, the Holy Spirit, bear witness in your heart what I'm saying is true and make you repent and cast all your care on Christ. And cease adding sin to sin. And if you are, brethren, if Christ is all your consolation, all your hope, you continue assembling to hear this gospel with His people. And never, ever turn from Christ. There is no sacrifice, there is no other offering necessary or that can satisfy God except the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in Him. Amen. All right, let's stand together, brethren. Lord, we thank You for the Word. We ask now that You would indeed draw us once again to the Christ's feet and make us cast all our care on Him. Lord, turn those that have not yet been turned. We ask it according to Your will, according to Your power, according to the blood of our Redeemer. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You to be able to come here and rejoice in our Redeemer and be washed into from the defilement of this world so we can go back out and strengthened and face a few more days and come back again. Lord, we pray for You people everywhere that are assembling today. Pray for Your preachers and pray You give them boldness to speak and clearness and make Your people hear it. Lord, we pray for those that are suffering and in need, and you know their trouble. You know their trial. You know who they are. You know where they are. Lord, we ask Your hand be upon them and comfort them and do whatever is necessary to keep them in Christ. Forgive us our sins, Lord. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.